No, hold that thought. We'll come to it in 2 seconds. Ready? And as the music fades, we are back doing the Unsalted Popcorn Directionless Commentary podcast, Ema Thingy. And we are joined, as ever, by the behatted Ms. Laura Monmouth.
Hello.
And the unhatted John Carruthers.
Hello.
And the eared Morgan.
Yeah,
I'm trying to make a fake hat from hands.
I like that. It was a good hat. And we are back. We are doing Unsalted Popcorn Podcastery. And before we hit play and started doing this, we were having a conversation about terrible driving experiences. And I said to John, hold that thought. We're going to talk about that one afterwards. He went, I'll forget. Have you forgotten?
Yes.
No, oh, well, never mind.
We were talking about how bad we were as drivers, and I stand by the fact that I'm still a terrible driver. But Laura also mentioned the same thing. But Morgan, at the age of 6, went into a driving simulator as part of the. She was 6 years old, and it was during the Glasgow Commonwealth Games, and it was a big driving simulator. And 6 year old Morgan sat down and perfectly executed a drive round a track and a 3-point turn at the age of 6. It was just a simulator, but there was a point where the guy that was getting people on actually said to the other person that was working the place, you need to go over here, right? Because it was like the exact same way you've done all car. I was just sitting there just going, what?
No, I was basically attached to the wall of those pedals.
Yeah, it's a simulator.
That is amazing.
So I think I heard something different as well. But
she's also successfully driven a tractor around the field. So I'm in awe of her.
That's quite amazing. I do remember on my first lesson, I managed to pull away from the house, pull out from a junction, go round one corner, but an attempt to go round a village green and then turn left by a pub did result in me almost driving straight into the pub. And it was a big pub. You couldn't really miss it, yet somehow I did manage to almost drive into it.
A drive-through pub.
Yeah, it should have been.
Can I tell people something?
I'm not surprised when you're trying to do one thing and you end up in a pub as the other. That's just you all over anyway.
Every one of my good stories either starts or ends in a pub.
I would like to be insulted by the theory that I can't do anything that doesn't involve at some point ending up in a pub, but history's against me, so carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, go for it.
In the last week, I've had 3 dreams of driving cars.
That's scary. You should never dream about driving a car, especially if you're driving a car. I had a dream. I got woken up by loud, shouty voices in my head when I was asleep. A very noisy, shouty dream where Seven Zark Seven was doing something, and I can't remember what he was doing, but he was very angry about it.
Good Lord.
I still want that one. Exactly. I want that one analysed.
I have to say, you know, Martin Luther King's got nothing to worry about.
Yes, that's a hell of a speech, isn't it? I had a dream. Seven Zark Seven, what? Where's it going with this? Oh, we've lost the crowd, mate. They've gone. And then get hit by a lawsuit from whichever company currently owns the rights to it. I've got 4 discs to go on that box set, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
What's everybody got to drink tonight?
I'm on tea.
I'm on water.
Oh, good tea, water. I want a very nice bottle of Pinot Noir.
This is raspberry Pepsi, but
that isn't raspberry Pepsi, is it? That's the other stuff.
I've had 3 glasses of red wine, and there's a heroic shot of Dead Man's Fingers rum in this as well.
Okay.
I was going to say, the picture you put on Facebook earlier didn't suggest there were any tea involved, did it?
Every picture you've been putting on Facebook recently doesn't involve much tea, it seems. Particularly the kids. They went to school hammered.
Oh, man, they were wrecked, weren't they?
We had a big box of wine, which was near its end. And, you know, I did that thing where you take the plastic thing out and you just empty the glass. And I reached a new low where I realised there was some I couldn't get, and I actually pushed it down and inhaled the last of the wine. And I could actually, not only the liquid wine go down my throat, I could actually feel, like, wine-saturated air going into my lungs. which is a new personal low for me.
You can smoke wine then.
Mm-hmm. I think we possibly hit your most 100% Glaswegian moment.
No, we haven't.
I think you've gone utterly full Glaswegian and possibly out round the other side.
No, I don't want the story to appear in the podcast, but I've had more Glaswegian moments with you.
We might get sued. Before we crack on with tonight's episode, a little bit of catchy uppy stuff. I actually finally caught up with the Unicorn and the Wasp the other day. I've forgotten how terrible an episode it was as they try and shoehorn history into the Doctor Who universe.
I love it.
It's fun.
It's a fun episode.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
Exactly. It's fun, but my God, it's dumb and stupid.
Yeah.
But it did have Felicity Kendall in it, so you know it wasn't all bad.
It's not a terrible episode. I've seen people say it's like one of the worst episodes ever. It's really, really.
But the thing that struck me most about it, I've just remembered. The CGI for the Wasp was the best CGI we've seen so far. They can draw a wasp, they can't do explosions, but my God, they can do a wasp.
It's basically 4 years' worth of budget which has gone into one wasp, that's why.
Yeah, and that's why all the explosions were shit. Before we press play, I need to find a pen so I can jot down things we talk about so I can make that sound interesting when we get onto...
Oh my God.
I know, I'm learning. Well, the thing is, I used to trust my memory, and then I learned that was a really bad idea. And all I need now is a piece of paper. Talk amongst yourselves, people. This is going into the podcast. I'm not editing this out.
Talk amongst ourselves when we can watch you walk around what looks like you've just walked around a pitch black living room attempting to find a pen. This is far more entertaining.
I can't believe we're not...
Do you know what? I've just had a brilliant idea for like a modern game of Nightmare.
I can't believe we're not twitching this one.
Yeah.
On Skype or Zoom, just like one person having to go around their house like with a bucket on their head or something.
That would be fantastic.
That would be incredible.
Bucket with a webcam on.
Can I be Hugo Meyer?
Aren't we all Hugo Meyer, really?
Hugo Meyer was Tree Guard.
Hugo Wyatt.
Oh, is it Wyatt?
Wyatt.
I thought it was Myatt.
That is why he came back for the... When they rebooted it for one single episode about a decade ago, and they made a big joke about the fact that he must have been about 80, 90 years old or something. And then they took all the makeup off him, and he looks exactly the same. He's like, again, one of those people that just looked a lot older when they were younger. So now you see Hugo Meyer. What? Now I'm saying Hugo Meyer at the age of 78 or whatever he is, he looks like he's fucking 40. It's weird.
But on the upside...
It's Myatt, Laura. I was right.
That's what I was just said. I just said you were right.
Yeah, I think Buck on the head, webcam.
I was saying it's the third time that... Hang on, no, it's not, is it? It's Myatt.
Excellent. No, that's cool. I'm fine with that.
But on the upside, whatever his name is, it's never appeared in the tabloids. So we can call that a win, given... What happens to most of your childhood heroes from telly?
One of those weird. You'd have thought he'd have had at least a cameo in an episode of this by now.
I'm amazed he hasn't. Actually, are we sure he hasn't? Maybe he played a Sontaran or something.
I think it's actually, you know, the fact that Hugo Meyer hasn't appeared in any tabloids for any kind of dodgy stuff is actually quite amazing. When you think he had a lot more opportunity than some people, because he was in a television show where he basically blinded children and
blinded children. And after the fourth series, the child that was inside Nightmare, inside the dungeon, they, after they lost, didn't appear with the other kids at the end. Only the three kids who were directing the other got to go home. What happened to the other child? So, yeah, right.
We never found out.
Unless the kid won. I think the kid came back if he or she won.
No, because if the kid who didn't win disappeared, then it all kind of just went a bit weird. And the three kids went, oh, we're going home on our own then. And some poor set of parents were left sobbing.
Wouldn't it be great if in real life, you know, they were just at school the next day going, I wonder what happened to Alan?
Do two teams from my school went. Two teams from my school did Nightmare, one while I was in the school. One was a year before I started, before I went there, and they lost. And then the other ones won. It's like three or four teams or five teams or something out of like 100 ever won Nightmare, and like a team from my school did.
Wow.
But I wish I'd been there when it got shown that the kids lost. Imagine, like, my school and being able to just, like, you went left when you should have gone right, and you did it in front of 4 million children. It'd be fucking brilliant.
Is that the earliest reference we've had yet to turn left?
Absolutely. I was just about to say that.
Oh, is that?
I was being subtle there.
Yeah, you weren't. I suddenly realised where you were guiding that. Even with my helmet on and my webcam, I could see where that was going on. Before we move on to tonight's episode, why is Morgan's head suddenly gone pink?
She's wearing Hello Kitty's
She's. I do not like Hello Kitty. I just happen to have the hat stuff in
there. She's wearing the face of Hello Kitty. She's actually skinned Hello Kitty alive.
Everyone thinks that she's a cute pink colour, but that's blood.
Anyway, right. Before we sully the memories of Hello Kitty for fans everywhere, well, you know, we're on to
memory of Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty's not dead.
Well, she is, because look, she's currently squished on top.
It's making it sound like Hello Kitty died a few years ago. Let's not sully the memory of...
Hello Kitty has been beheaded, scalped, and is now being worn as a trophy by Morgan.
Yeah, so if Hello Kitty's not dead, she's in a hell of a lot of pain.
Yeah, unless she's a zombie Hello Kitty.
maybe zombie Hello Kitty is feasting on...
Hello Zombie would be a brilliant premise for something.
Oh, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Oh, that'd be amazing. Think of the dolls you could have.
Probably the only franchise that hasn't had a kind of parallel universe zombie themed.
Yeah. I'm guessing there hasn't been a Hello Kitty porn parody either, but that's only a matter of time.
Yeah, let's not think about that right now.
sorry, Laura, I spoke over you.
No, it's okay.
Go on. You were going to say something. Go on.
I was going to give a list of franchises which I'm going to think which haven't had a zombie episode. And then I would have just started listing a bunch of 90s TV shows. I'm not going to do that.
Friends. Oh. I remember the Friends zombie episode.
No, there was.
Was there?
No.
Do you know, it wouldn't have surprised me if they did. I mean, they did everything else. I mean, they've all been heterosexual white zombies, obviously. But anyway, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, it's not midnight, and that's what we're doing. How far into this particular season are we now?
10, is it? Yeah, 10.
Yeah, it's episode 10, so we're into the final stretch.
Into the final stretch. And this is the one where I believe the Doctor is trapped on the planet Midnight.
And let me just check to see if you're reading the BBC iPlayer synopsis. Yeah, good. Just a check.
Yep, I certainly am.
It's the one where the Doctor is trapped. It's the Doctor Light... the Companion Light episode.
The Companion Light episode, isn't it?
The Doctor Light episode. It's coming up. We'll turn that. Companion Light episode. Is this the first time, though, that we've had a proper Doctor Light, Companion Light, back-to-back?
I think so.
Yeah, proper budget cutter.
Yeah, which... I think it is.
Oh, of course.
I suggest that we actually watch this at double speed. We can Midnight Express.
You've been working on that all day, haven't you?
I just thought of it there.
No, you didn't. You've been planning that one for a week. Right, on that terrible note, should we watch this damn thing? Right, as ever, dear listener, we will press play, you press play, we will insightfully guide you through the fun and games that is the cameo-laden mess of Midnight. I thought I'd get that in there because it's been bugging me. Right, so yeah, well, we blah, 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 3, 2, 1.
And Morgan are going to enjoy this more than you.
I think that is a strong possibility. I have issues with this before we've even begun. Are we ready? In that case, on 3, 3, 2, 1, and play. Well, the CGI is better for a start. They look under a...
See, we're not talking.
No, I'm trying to work out why... Oh, I don't care.
why Donna's gone for a spa day while the doctor's away?
Yeah, that one. And why he's on? Why he's bothered to ring her on a payphone?
It's basically... it's exposition, really. It's like, oh, are you sure you don't want to come on this such and such, Donna, that we just spoke about 15 minutes ago? Yes, I'm absolutely sure that I don't want to go and see the sapphire thing. He's that thing of my mom.
Yeah,
Well, it's your loss. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah, titting.
But, I mean, he's given...
This doctor later, so the doctor buggers off and then it's 45 minutes of Donna in a spa.
Comes back and she's had a full wax and had her eyebrows done.
That would actually be a good episode. Had they actually just gone that route? So this was first, and then you've got this episode featuring Donna afterwards. What kind of adventures is she going
to? Well, this is where you
and
find
just lying there.
This is where you find the Sontarans were actually running the spa.
Yeah. Absolutely nothing happened. It's still called turn left. Donna has to choose between going to get a manicure or going into the sauna.
Oh, this is a Russell T. Davis episode as well.
This isn't a pretty popular attraction, is it? Because there's about 20 odd seats in that ship.
Yep.
And there's like 7 of them.
Yeah.
They clearly have a maximum number of guest stars they can have.
Well, one of which is the son of a former doctor, and he's currently playing Tony Archer in The Archers.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who's just sat down behind him.
No, I didn't know he was in The Archers.
Yeah, they changed actors a while back, as is their wont, and he became the new Tony Archer. And he plays a miserable bugger really well.
He looks like a miserable bugger. I'm sure he's a lovely... He always seems like a lovely fella, but he just looks like he looks like he's got the equivalent of resting...
Sorry, can we just back up a second?
To look grumpy.
Back up a second.
I've seen a lot more people saying that they would like to have Sean Pertwee having a larger part in, or a part, a big part in Doctor Who than I have seen saying David Pertwee.
Did we notice who is directing this?
Who is it?
Alice Troughton.
Huh?
Someone called Alice Troughton.
Oh, really?
She's not related.
Oh, she just got the gig where she lied and said she was.
Yeah, she's directed a lot of Doctor Who and Torchwood type stuff, but she's not actually one of the Troughton family.
Ah, oh, fair enough.
Unless it's from Patrick Troughton's secret second family.
I do like how with the big comfy collar he's got up there. He looks a bit like Harry Hill. Quite like.
Right, so currently we have... She's been in other stuff and been much better than this. You've got her from Coronation Street, him from a bad sitcom, The Archers, Scott and Bailey, and I think the female football team drama from the 90s that was...
What was that called?
Playing the Game? Playing the Field.
Was it Playing the Field? Yeah.
Playing the Field. So that's a cameo so far. The young up-and-coming stars are her and him.
Yeah, who... We need to give him a little bit of personality. He hasn't quite got the Merlin gig yet, so we'll just paint his nails to give him a personality. He's a bit emo, you see.
Yeah, this is it. We want someone who appeals to the youth market. What's a youth market, Russell? I don't know. They like goth shit. Oh, black then.
They do, and they like to have their diagrams of PlayStations on this entertainment system. In whatever year this is.
Had Merlin not started yet?
No, Merlin was later than this.
Merlin started the same time as this. I think this got filmed 2007. I think Merlin started in 2007. So but Merlin is not an integral part of the first series of Merlin.
Obviously not. No.
You look back.
I tried not to watch it because it was terrible.
I loved Merlin.
I think I gave it an episode, if not two, and that was about your lot. Why do we have Betty Boo, by the way?
My favourite thing about Merlin was the fact that the girl that played Morgana Le Fay, obviously they tried to make her good at the beginning. It was like Muppet Babies, Merlin. You know, it was just so you had Morgana and you know, obviously the kind of Arthurian stuff. You know, a lot of the characters are kind of Welsh, like Morgana Le Fay, but she was Irish. The actor that played Morgana. And I just used to walk and saying, "Hello, I'm Morgana, I'm evil." And then whenever Morgan did anything particularly annoying, I used to go, "I'm Morgana, I'm evil." And it used to irritate the hell out of her.
Is this how Morgan got her name?
That's who Morgan got her name. I'm evil, from the TV show Merlin.
I do vaguely recall, it was just absolutely terrible. Who was
it was Saturday night. BBC fodder, it was fine.
They had one. If you watch the first couple of seasons, they actually had like two shots of the dragon that they reused, and it was a dragon looking directly at Merlin. And then at the end of every conversation, he just went and flew off further into the game. And that was. And I used to actually say to Tanya when we watched that, "Oh look, he's about to fly off!" and you could time it almost perfectly. And it was John Hurt. John Hurt was the voice of the dragon.
It was. Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
This is just lazy. Just skipping ahead
no,
to.
No, it's not lazy. This is just typical Russell T. Davis.
I'm sure there's a reason for it, but it's just you don't.
And it's just 10 minutes of exposition. That's all it is. But yeah. And a bit of chat, few pop culture references.
I mean, some writers, and I know, you know, it's not an easy job, I get that, but some writers seem to manage somehow to bolt exposition into action at the same time and drive the thing forward as you go, rather than have endless bits of exposition.
Scripted episode, hence it takes place in one set.
Yep.
And you can't really have action in here until the action actually starts.
Yeah.
You could have a lot more action and a lot less crap.
I remember arguing with someone that thought was convinced this was a Stephen Moffat episode. And I'm like, what? It's not got anything remotely Moffat about it.
No, not at all.
No.
Out of interest, did Crusader Tours ever sue over the fact they had their name attached to this? I think there is a company called Crusader Tours.
Ah, I have no idea.
Because it's not a good advert.
Did Sony sue for the use of the PlayStation or the Walkman?
They almost certainly paid well for that. That, although heaven knows where the money went, because it didn't go on the budget, did it? And also, if we're in the 21st and a half century or whatever year they decided to set this in, that I can't remember, why are we still using a pull-down screen and a projector? It's not even a PowerPoint. It's a projector with slides.
He's got a habit of shit like that. Probably the 783rd century.
Yeah, it's you know, it's probably got so far around and back again.
Yeah,
that they now think slides are snazzy.
Actually, that's a good point, because this is set with the TARDIS back at wherever
space dock. Yeah.
Blah blah blah. I don't believe that the English language hasn't developed from as we see it now. So the TARDIS isn't there to translate anything.
No.
But Crusader by now would be spelled without vowels, because vowels are obsolete, because who needs vowels?
Yep. The letter R actually got ruled out about 200 years before this for religious reasons.
Because of Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have the letter R for that. It's defamatory.
But just when you're talking about the TARDIS not being able to translate, it's on the same planet and it's in the same time zone, if you will.
Yeah,
so
but...
The
TARDIS translation loop is very much run on Bluetooth. So any more than 6 feet away and you're
that
fucked.
Would never work. But I just think that the TARDIS just has to be... You know, it's like... It could travel through time. I imagine that it would probably have a slightly... I just think the fact that it's in the same kind of time zone, if you will. And by that, I don't mean like the international dateline or anything. I just mean the fact that, it's temporally in the same place and it's in the same planet.
I think as long as he's mentioned it at some point,
yeah,
then you're all good.
Have either of you got subtitles on?
No.
Because a lovely subtitle just came on just saying, they chuckle in glee.
I didn't think they were in glee.
Oh, God. They probably were.
Well, yeah, no, they can't be because one of them would be dead by now.
Glee.
Do what?
They're the only two surviving cast
members. I think we both have to talk over each other with roughly the same gag.
Glee is a 21st century's version of Dad's Army.
Possibly slightly funnier, but only just.
Yeah.
Fewer song and dance numbers.
There's a wonderful section in Biz, like early 90s, which had just like the curse of Dad's Army.
Yeah.
Like why has every single character and actor in Dad's Army died in the past couple of years? Just like how is this 86 year old man passed away at such a young age?
I actually got quite a shock going back through watching the Yes Prime Minister stuff again. I didn't realise that Ian Lavender actually got a small part in it. He plays a civil servant in two or three episodes.
Uh-huh. Is he now officially the last surviving member?
Yes.
Of Dad's Army.
Yeah.
Like it's a mantle passed on, like the Highlander.
Yeah, yeah. There is now literally only one. Unfortunately, it does mean that he's now got to go and kill someone.
Well, no, it just means he's immortal.
Yeah.
He's immortal until they decide to make a sequel, and then it's all aliens.
Well, they kind of tried that with the film, didn't they?
No, I went to see the film.
Oh, you didn't?
I did. Me and Sarah went on a thing a few years ago where we decided that we've got a cinema in West Bromwich, so let's go to the cinema. And we went to see Deadpool. And then, what's on this? Oh, Jesus, right, what have we got? Oh, God, Dad's Army's out. Yeah, let's go see it. And we never did it again, like two weeks.
I was going to say, that's kind of a double dare, isn't it? Okay, so we succeeded. We've seen a good film. Okay, let's just test our luck again. And you saw Dad's Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought maybe
there is an Odeon literally 7 minutes walk for me away from here. And we've not been back.
No.
Because of Dad's Army.
When you said, you went to cinema and it was Deadpool and Dad's Army, I thought you meant the original Dad's Army movie and the Dirty Harry film. We just kind of going, oh, they need to get some newer movies.
I was hoping you thought that I meant a crossover and it was just one thing.
Do you know what? I'd take Deadpool as an upgrade in the remake of Dad's Army. Him in there would have made it a vastly superior film. Although, to be honest, Michael Bay directing it would have made it a better film. And there's nothing else. There's no other film you can say that about.
Yeah, we'll just have some larger explosions.
Yeah. Because you're the only woman in the whole thing, and I know you're 65, but can you kind of sort of just lean against this and cock your legs slightly and let your skirt ride up? Never mind the surgical stockings, love. Come on, show a bit of thigh. Because basically, Dad's Army, the film, was just a large vehicle, same as Carry On Columbus, for whichever bunch of top-notch British comedy actors we had lying around in a cupboard at the time, wasn't it?
At least with Carry On Columbus, it was a mismatch of... What year was Carry On Columbus? 92. Another Carry On Columbus, I went to see at the cinema.
You really pick them.
I have a habit of seeing really shit films at the cinema.
I'm going to put money now that you went to see Phantom Menace at the cinema.
No, I got a pirated copy of Phantom Menace about 3 weeks before it was released.
Okay. Attack of the Clones?
Attack of the Clones, I didn't watch until after I'd seen Revenge of the Sith.
Sensible.
Which I did see at the cinema.
I saw Attack of the Clones at the cinema. Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace and the most recent one are the only two Star Wars films I haven't seen in the cinema.
Attack of the Clones is the only one I haven't seen at the cinema because I saw Phantom Menace and I could not bring myself to go and see Attack of the Clones. And then when Sith came out, there was an advanced copy, in inverted commas, doing the rounds where the CGI hadn't quite been finished. And a mate of mine burnt me a copy of that, and that was good enough for me to decide to go and watch it just for emotional reasons. And I've seen all the new ones.
My copy of The Phantom Menace was a weird copy because it was obviously a free finished version, but it was a finished version, and it was an audience reaction copy.
Oh.
So they obviously, like, the producers could then go and do some last minute work to it, but you could only hear the audience like whooping and cheering and getting up in the first 5 minutes.
Oh.
I've always wondered if everybody actually just fucked off after 5 minutes.
I just don't know how anyone didn't walk. I mean, I say to the end because I'm an idiot, but I mean, Jar Jar Binks was enough to make me want to put my head through the chair in front of me. Oh, dear, it was awful.
Who's the Jar Jar Binks of modern who? The least interesting, the most annoying character.
I've already forgotten his name.
Clara.
Clara.
I talked over you quite twice there, John. You'll go.
Sorry. I can't remember what Graham's grandson's name is.
Ryan.
I couldn't remember his name.
Ryan is the Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Of New Who.
Or is Graham the Jar Jar Binks of New Who?
No. Graham's not. Although Graham is more comic fodder in the last two series than the other two.
Yes.
I think Graham was season 11 and he was in season 12.
I'm going to say Clara.
I said Clara. I think it's Clara.
I stand by the fact that I think it's Ryan, but if they got Ryan to say any of Jar Jar's lines, they would probably get into a lot of trouble because it sounds kind of weirdly kind of racist.
Could be a little bit, yeah.
Because there's something about Jar Jar.
I want to see it.
Actually, on that note, can I just comment that compared to earlier Doctor Who, this is where diversity really started kicking in, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because for no reason whatsoever, that which is absolutely fine, you actually have a very but you have a diverse cast of characters in this.
Well, what I found terrifying was the people.
Do what?
Do you have very diverse? Okay. So we have gay characters.
Yeah.
There's a wizard.
There's a wizard. Two black people.
A wizard is not.
A farmer?
Look, being a wizard is not a protected characteristic.
Well, it should be, because how many wizards do you know that are dying?
I know loads, and they're out marching every week, so... You know.
Wizards' lives matter.
They've got people of colour, and they've got women in this episode.
Yeah, and a wizard.
A diverse cast.
I'm going to disagree. I like this episode, and I know Khan doesn't, but I know that this episode gets a lot of praise for what's coming next.
Oh, boy.
And the time it must have taken the two of them to do this.
Yeah.
So I get that a lot of the praise just comes from this one scene as opposed to the whole episode, but I do like this scene.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's done so well, and I think this is the first time that Tennant's Doctor shows any kind of fear.
Well, as in he actually acts.
36 episodes before this, the Tennant's in.
Yeah.
This is the first time his character shows any kind of fear.
I'm obviously trying to think back.
It's because he's helpless.
Which is a rare trait for this particular Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Doctor has already been portrayed as God at this point. Resurrected. So, to show fear and helplessness. I think it's why I like Waters of Mars so much, because we see that other side of the Doctor, which is not portrayed very much.
Yeah. Because the thing is, to a certain extent, modern Who is, there's an element of Superman to it, in that nothing can really hurt him or harm him, and he's got the answers to everything.
Well, you're going to get that anyway, because you know that they're not going to kill off the Doctor.
Yeah, but I mean,
element that's embedded.
You kind of knew that with the old Who, but they still managed to create enough of an element of fear.
Yeah.
Did you know in the 80s where it could have been cancelled at any moment?
Well, that was the other fear.
Yeah.
When Sylvester McCoy was hanging by an umbrella, you really didn't know if it was coming back next week. But I get that it's hard to bring an element of uncertainty and fear to a character like this, but they do seem to have worked quite well in there not being any. So when it comes along like this, it's a nice change.
Oh my God, Khan's on board. Cool.
I didn't say I like the episode. I just said it made a nice change.
More subtitles. It just said they all talk at once, and then the classic Sky repeats everything.
I will say that she is playing the character very well now. She's doing the.
Yeah. She now has a character apart from, let's just stick someone in here. Say that they're gay to basically give them some kind of characterization, I guess.
Yep. Oh, I've got a script through for Doctor Who. They want me to play the part of this woman on a thing. All right, what's the character? Gay. All right, okay, well, that's that sorted.
Her name's Sky, not gay.
Her name's Sky, not gay. Is that her name, Sky, not gay?
Sky, not gay, yeah.
Is that hyphenated?
Yeah, she married into the not gays.
is it gay with or without an E at the end?
Sky now talks at the same time as anyone. This is a bit of social commentary I've got going on here.
So you see, she's already... this is cancel culture, early doors. Sky's cancelling everybody.
I'm just waiting for it to come up with Sky is stealing your details and selling them to foreign nations. That'll be a good one.
I'm assuming that particular sentence doesn't have an E on the end of Sky.
No, it doesn't. It just simply says Sky. I think Sky's name in this doesn't have an E.
I was amazed they didn't sue for that.
I owe you there. Is Sky still in there? I will send you these screenshots afterwards.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be... No, really.
Or you could just go yourself and stick subtitles on to prove me right.
If you can screenshot that... I'll have that for the cover.
Hang on, yeah. There's some classic RTV sticking in some random reference to the Medusa Cascade.
Yeah, I'll have the two faces together as a cover shot. If I may murder another sci-fi classic, make it so.
I do.
This is funny but creepy.
Funny but creepy. There you go. That's Morgan's review of the episode.
Do you know what? That probably makes more sense than the little pricey that comes up on the iPlayer thing. It's not all this, the Doctor goes on and watches it and does a thing. Funny but creepy, that sums it up. You're fine.
I think I've mentioned before, it was just when you're talking about the fact that the Doctor's never in any kind of danger, blah, blah, blah. And this, I still, one thing I would like in this kind of internet age, and they've never been able to do it even kind of pre-internet thing, I would love for them to have a surprise regeneration where you didn't know what was going to happen and you didn't know who was next.
Yes.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, we are literally two episodes away from an episode where I didn't know. I don't know whether you thought it's going to be a cop-out, but you genuinely didn't know.
I genuinely didn't know, but I would love them to kind of follow that through. And I don't mean just kind of cliffhanger in the next week, because the good thing about the way that cliffhanger worked was you're like, ah, but I would love a situation where you just have something, I don't know, I wouldn't do it with the equivalent of Sylvester McCoy walking out of the TARDIS getting shot, and then next thing you know, he's pulling me again. You know, something that, I know you knew that, but just something where you're just like, bloody, you know, not a kind of, oh my God, the doctor's been hurt, and then the next week he regenerates.
Yeah.
Because I a week to go, oh, this might happen, something that goes, bam.
I have a feeling we're going to get there with Jodie.
Do you think so?
I, if you look at the tropes and the fan service, particularly last season, that the writing has produced in Doctor Who, I think that we're going to get something along those lines. I think we'll have an inkling. We're going to have an inkling anyway, because it's going to be Jodie's third series, and that's the tradition.
But she's technically signed up to take it to 5, hasn't she?
Well, no. She hasn't signed up to take it to 5. She is doing the next series.
I thought she'd signed up as well.
No, she has.
They expect she'll stick around for...
Ah, that's how they got around it, yes.
But what I'll say is that every showrunner so far has had 2 doctors. Every showrunner I knew who's had 2 doctors under the belt.
Yeah.
Good point, yep.
2 doctors, around 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe Eccleston's going to come back and they're going to have another series with him while they find a replacement doctor. That's how they're going to buffer it.
That's how they're going to buffer it. But to get around it, they'll do what everybody does and stick the E on the end of his name, so he's Ecclestone.
Yes.
And he'll be a totally different person, totally new doctor.
Yep.
You've never seen anyone like this one.
No. He'll have his jacket inside out just for wackiness.
I mean... That's the thing they've never done. They've never gone back to a previous doctor. So let's go and do that.
Hey, see, it's thinking outside the box. It's the way forward. I still think, by the way, I know now we've got the news that Eccleston is coming back to Big Finish. That's them mentioned for the week. Thank you. Tick.
That's my job.
I know. I'm multitasking tonight. I'm getting it all in.
I've just been outsourced.
I'm cheaper than you, so I got the gig. I reckon we're going to have, how many do we reckon, calculate? I think it's 7 doctors we can have. Has John Hurt died yet?
John Hurt's dead.
Okay, 6 doctors.
John Hurt did some Big Finish stuff.
Baker, actually both Bakers.
Both Bakers.
Davidson.
We are not going to get another Tom Baker appearance in Doctor Who.
Do you reckon not?
Tom Baker is not well enough now.
He still did Big Finish stuff, but he
we are not getting another on-screen appearance from Tom Baker.
Oh, it's easy.
Big Finish go to Tom Baker's house now to record, rather than him coming to them.
I mean, I'm not saying it could work, but what you could do, possibly, is just have a couple of shots of him floating madly in space in a chair, badly reading off a cue card.
That'd be awesome.
The thing is, we've had, 3 versions of the first Doctor now?
Yep.
When they want to do something with the 4th Doctor, who the hell can they choose?
Well, just use a cardboard cutout. It's still sitting in the cupboard. The cardboard cutout from the 5 Doctors is still around somewhere, surely.
And they could get Sean Pertwee to kiss his hand.
Yeah. Okay, so you're looking for...
looking for someone who's like 6'4", which like narrows things down to start off with.
6'4", yeah. Big, stocky, mad hair.
Yeah.
How tall is Ross Noble?
Ross Noble is a lot shorter than Tom Baker.
Ah, bugger. Peter Crouch in a wig.
Doesn't really have the voice for it either. Have you seen the, I can't remember what it's called, but the horror film that Ross Noble did a few years ago?
No.
Ross Noble did a horror film where he plays a clown who dies during a, it's like comedy horror, dies during a kid's birthday party.
Are you sure this wasn't an episode of Inside Number 9?
It's actually really entertaining. It's not a great film.
Okay.
It's one of those which is, I don't want to use the term so bad, it's good, because it's actually made reasonably well.
Okay.
But it's an easy watch. I can't think what it's called though. It's worth a watch.
I love the fact
that Russell Noble's like a foot shorter than.
Okay.
Your story about Ross Noble playing a clown in a horror film. So he's in a horror film, he's playing a clown that dies at a children's birthday party, and then you stop yourself and then qualify what you're saying by saying, oh yeah, it's a comedy horror. Basically, at that point, nobody was sure.
It could have been a horror.
Okay, so thinking outside the box a little bit, Peter Crouch or Ryan Dalton in a wig?
No, I genuinely would take Peter Crouch as an alternative to Tom Baker as a fourth doctor.
I think that could work.
I think it would be hilarious.
Yes, definitely.
What you could do is just have him in it at the beginning. He falls over and then regenerates into Peter Davison, and you just have Peter Davison and a Tom Baker wig, like they did with Colin Baker to.
Yes.
To McCoy. And actually have him in the whole episode, and Peter Davison's playing himself and Tom Baker in a wig.
Actually, right.
Sorry, can we just point out that at this point that Patrick Troughton's
David
character is called the Professor.
David Troughton.
David Troughton's character is called the Professor.
I know, brilliant, isn't it? Yep. A little on the nose, but it works.
No, it's fine.
So we're looking at then Colin Baker, Peter Davison. Is Sylvester McCoy still fit enough to do a thing?
Yeah, Sylvester McCoy's fine. Yeah.
You sound like someone who's got him in a cupboard and you're keeping an eye on him. Paul McGann.
See that door over there? That's my McCoy door.
Paul McGann's the same. Paul McGann hasn't aged.
No, that's true.
Paul McGann had that massively different look just by cutting his hair during Night of the Doctor.
Yeah.
But he has the same energy.
Yeah.
And weirdly, Sylvester McCoy, when you see him, he has that energy around him, like someone who's like 74, 75.
Yeah.
He can still go.
So we basically then, apart from the War Doctor, we've got absolutely everybody from Colin Baker up to Jodie.
Yeah. From Peter Davison.
Peter Davison, sorry, yes. So Davison, Baker, McCoy, again. Davison.
Oh, here we go.
The Nine Doctors.
Yeah. There you go.
I would take that. I mean, the rumour for a few years has been that they want to do the big multi-master story.
Yeah.
Because we have three masters now who are living and breathing and not American, and this is the first opportunity to do that, the 60th.
Ah, yes, we do, don't we?
Because they're all still basically in love with the franchise.
Yeah.
And it's probably the greatest collection. It's probably a great collection as a three unit of different character types and personalities than to have like the last three doctors. So why not?
Isn't Derek Jacobi still alive?
Yes, he is. But I wouldn't want an old Derek Jacobi it would be that Tom Baker role.
The problem with
Curator at a museum? How'd you work that in?
The problem with Derek Jacobi as well is in story, if you will, he basically used the kind of equivalent of the Fobwatch or whatever to turn human and then aged into a kind of older guy that the Doctor has never kind of allegedly met. And it's very difficult to include that in the narrative because he more or less aged in real time as a human. And then
aged in real time and was only the Master for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we got. How do you speak British as well? Because I don't know them.
Big finish have Derek Jacobi as the War Master, if you will, and on all the kind of covers, it's got old Derek Jacobi. But the big finish, it
can't be canon.
Yeah, well, I think in universe, he's young. So he's like he's a young version of the kind of character who then pre Fogwatch, because at some point he was a young version of Derek Jacobi. But they use pictures of him as an old man on the covers. Big Finish have the kind of motto of don't let canon get in the way of a good story.
That's very true.
This is what I was saying about Tennant looking terrified, by the way.
Yeah, I'd forgotten he can actually act.
Mm.
So is he.
I mean, it's a... Tennant can act, just not at his best in this. We've established that.
Well, certainly whether we agree with this theory, he's gone into sort of checking in a little bit.
I was in awe of David Tennant's performance until I saw Matt Smith and then rewatched David Tennant and just thought Matt Smith
had the same or more energy, but was the Doctor.
I fear I might possibly reappraise my view of Doctors as we go.
Yeah, oh no, that's
because.
Matt Smith has been my favourite Doctor, with Capaldi behind, with Davison behind that for a long time.
Yeah, because taking the modern run...
Tennant is just 40 minutes of gurning an episode, but
yeah,
this bit is awesome.
Yeah, and also the bits earlier on where he was terrified and mob rule took over and he couldn't control the situation, which is a new thing for the Doctor. That kind of, he did that quite well.
Yeah.
Maybe he did this episode, or the filming of this episode came just after his agent said, no, there's been no other calls, and he already knew he was going to be out of work. So maybe this is where the real fear is coming from.
But basically, this just goes into Hamlet.
Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant in Hamlet.
I wish I'd got to see that. I really do.
Yeah, but weirdly enough, I don't know if I've told you this. I watched Hamlet on the Friday night, and I watched The Taming of the Shrew on the Saturday night. It was down in Stratford upon Avon, and it was Michelle Gomez who was in The Taming of the Shrew.
Wow.
Yep, and obviously that was pre Missy. But what I'll say is, Taming of the Shrew was better.
Fantastic.
Michelle Gomez sent shivers up my spine, and that she was amazing.
Yeah, Michelle Gomez is awesome. So
yeah.
I think I saw
Michelle Gomez is an actor who can switch personalities like that.
Oh yeah. I think I saw Josie Lawrence in Taming of the Shrew at Stratford many years ago.
Taming of the Shrew is one of my favourite Shakespeare's.
It's up there, certainly. I have a fondness for Hamlet, largely because of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. And yeah, I like the overlay.
We've all got one, and back me up on this. We've all got a favourite Shakespeare, but it's never one you studied in school.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. We did Macbeth in school, which I think is the kind of classic one that you do in Scotland. Yeah. We did Macbeth and Romeo and Juliet, which I like both of them.
You're right. Because I think, in terms of ones I've seen, I love Merry Wives of Windsor, but I'm slightly biased because I've been in it. I absolutely love The Merchant of Venice, which I never studied. And I did study Hamlet, and I studied Henry IV, Part 1 and Part 2, and Henry V. Oh no, Henry IV, Part 1 and Part 2, or just Part 1. I saw all three Henrys at Stratford. And I studied King Lear, which I absolutely love King Lear as well. But I think Merchant is possibly one of my favourites.
See, I saw Gordon Strachan in Stratford, but nobody ever mentions that.
Well, I was thinking, when you saw the three Henrys, did you just shout Henry and they all turned round at the same time?
Yeah, that's the one. You've got a name.
Strachan's a lot shorter than I thought he'd be. He's just randomly walking up the road when I was going into charity shops in Stratford.
So you can put a wig on him and get him to play Tom Baker then?
That works for me. What if you put two...
He's more of a McCoy. There we go, we've got a McCoy. If Sylvester can't do it, we've got Gordon Strachan.
Could couldn't you put Gordon's Strachan, two Gordon's Strachans together to get a Tom Baker?
You could, but could you not make Gordon's Strachan Troughton? Because Troughton's quite small as well, isn't it?
Yeah. He was surprisingly short, but big in stature, which I believe was Lee Charles' excuse for getting Tom Cruise to play Jack Reacher.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was a bizarre casting choice, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's got a big presence on screen. So he doesn't need to be built like a brick shit house and be 6'6". He can be 4'2" and as thin as a stick. It's fine.
It's weird, though, because people say, you know, Tom Cruise was a poor choice for Jack Reacher, and then nobody mentions Denzel Washington playing Lincoln Rhyme, who was white in the books.
I don't even remember Denzel Washington being in the books.
The Bone Collector. He's the Bone Collector with Angelina Jolie.
Ah, yeah.
White in the books and black in the film. And then, of course, you get Morgan Freeman.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Morgan Freeman at the age of 97 trying to play Alex Cross. I mean, come on.
Alex Cross is a black character, but the character that he plays in the Shawshank Redemption, of course, is supposed to be a kind of red-haired Irish guy.
Yeah.
I just wish that Morgan Freeman had played them like that.
That would have been brilliant.
Oh, this episode changed from every single reference to time being clicks earlier on to minutes there.
I think it's called laziness and no one noticed.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I've not noticed that before. It's clicks all the way through the episode. Now it's added 20 minutes later.
Clicks is a military term for kilometres, though, isn't it?
Oh, I see. So they were counting it in distance till they got to the shiny pointy thing.
Yeah. Okay. They can't do distance anymore because they're not moving. I might be wrong.
No, I think you're right, which is kind of worrying because that means you're the smartest man on the podcast at the moment.
Well, what worries me is if I've managed to successfully correct. See, I can't even speak it. Managed to successfully correct Laura twice tonight, which is two more times than I've done in my entire life.
I'm slightly more concerned that you appear to now be sitting in a void.
I know that's it looks like a kind of rubbish cliffhanger ending to
it looks like you should be Link diving around while I've been trying to dive around the dark in the fucking Legend of Zelda on stream for the last three fucking days.
I'm glad you're not bitter about that.
I'm not bitter at all. I picked a game I can't actually see.
How did you manage to do that?
Because I wanted to play a Legend of Zelda ROM hack, so like a fan-made game.
Oh,
and it looks like John's background.
Oh, that's amazing then. That's really quality gaming going on there.
Okay.
Alone in the Dark. Just big games.
You suddenly realise in this moment, again, sorry, Mr. Tennant, Catherine Tate's the better actor.
Yep. This is great. We talked over it as well. There was a brilliant payoff to the Doctor kept having a stupid in joke about people imitating voices throughout his entire run when he said no, don't do that, and then that bit there's got this fantastic payoff to when he just tells her no, don't do that.
Yeah,
because Rose does it in Victorian England or Victorian Scotland.
Apparently, she does it a few times.
Martha. Does that a couple of times. So that was.
I've just been reminded there was something we were going to talk about, which we didn't. But I think possibly it works better if we talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's fine because I just realised. I think we should watch this next time trailer because I think we may actually have reached after 24 episodes a time where we're going to watch my favourite episode of Doctor Who.
Really? What episode is that, Laura?
It's Planet of the Spiders, which is next.
In a nightmare world, Donna and Rose attempt to stop the approaching.
Yeah, you're right. It's Turn Left, isn't it? It's Turn Left next.
I know nothing about this episode. It's one of those episodes that no one ever talks about or mentions ever.
Sorry, just calm down. We've not watched a single Ood episode yet, you're right.
I think you'll find that Laura is Oodist and doesn't like them, and we haven't got any of their episodes because she hates them.
Are other renewed episodes on the list?
I don't know.
Actually, when was the last time the Ood appeared?
You see the Ood in...
Tennant's last episode.
You see them in Waters of Mars at the end of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had the...
They appeared in two episodes of season two and one episode of season
four. No, they must surely be kicking around somewhere in the tail end of Matt Smith's thing, because just about everybody turned up in that.
You see the Ood... Definitely see the Ood during the Pond Life webisodes, but I can't think of any other. Maybe you do see them. They're in the Doctor's Wife. There's an Ood in the Doctor's Wife.
Oh!
can you rephrase that?
That's why the Doctor doesn't like the picture.
There is an Ood in the Doctor's Wife, but that was 9 years ago, and frankly, she's moved on.
Yeah. That was a classic Doctor Who fast moment. Oh, there's an Ood in the Doctor's Wife, pardon, Vicar.
You know, it's just like they had one of those kind of premarital lists. So the Doctor says, "Well, I've got Rose, I've got River Song," and the Doctor's Wife goes, "I'm fine, just stick five Ood in there."
You know that time where you're so desperate to make a joke, but you're gonna make it off because you know that it's not appropriate.
Go on then.
No, I'm not doing it.
Oh, Colin, you can't build it up and then not deliver.
I'm not doing it. It's not appropriate.
You can't do the build up to a thing and then not deliver the punchline. This isn't your Edinburgh show. Come on.
I'm gonna deliver it. I'll deliver it to you two in private.
I'll go and put it on Twitter afterwards anyway.
Carol, just pretend you stopped recording.
Oh, that old trick. Yeah, but then if I do that, I'll forget, and then I won't save it, and then we're screwed. Laura wins. We can't have that. Anyway, right, so that was... I almost called it Turn Left. I'm getting Turn Left disease. That was the star-laden, weighty episode that is... Midnight. Jesus. I don't understand why people don't like that episode. It's a riot and a laugh, and it's just got three good bits in it.
You don't like the Nick Frost Basin of the Siege episode of... Is it Last Christmas?
Yeah, it's Last Christmas.
Yeah, you don't like that one either, do you?
No.
Is it something you have against episodes such as that, where, you know, it's just like... Based on the Siege, like one set?
No, because some of my favourite films are kind of built around that thing. In fact, All Is Lost.
Yeah, but are some of your favourite Doctor Who episodes built around that?
No. Thinking about it, no.
So I think you enjoy the more chatty, the more open episodes of Who.
Yeah, I do.
So it would make sense that you... don't enjoy that episode, because Last Christmas is like higher up my Christmas episodes, just because it's not a great episode, but there are very, very few great Christmas episodes. And I think putting that in context of a Doctor, again, companion light episode such as that, where you are just in an enclosed space and you have a Doctor being the Doctor, but in this case... you have the Doctor being the Doctor, but being almost outsmarted by whatever entity is outside of this spacecraft.
Yeah.
You still can't deal with that?
I think part of the problem for me is whenever they try and do a tense pared down one, I mean, the... we watched it and I can't remember it. Michelle Collins is in it, which is all basically on one small ship.
42.
Yeah, that I don't mind. That I quite like. I think what problem I have is when, certainly with this one, they get a pared down set and they should just be really tense and really dramatic. But you've got 20 minutes of pointless piffle at the beginning. You've got a slide projector and a thing, and it's just... there's too much time spent deliberately having to try and establish who the characters are. Basically padding the episode.
Every episode of Doctor Who, because you have characters and you have to establish who they are.
Yeah, but for this one, they spend too much time, that whole, I'll talk to you now, I'll talk to you now, I'll talk to you now.
Seven characters. characters in a small space, so you have to spend time with the characters, so you have to spend that portion.
You could have fewer characters and
who they are.
But as I was saying during the episode, there's a way of doing that and still driving the plot along rather than splicing it and going, I'll talk to you now, I'll get a thing from you.
But on the back of that, we're talking about Russell T. Davis, so if we were to go down that route, we would have an explosion and then people thrust back in, the doctor would land next to them and say, well, I haven't had a day like this since blah, blah, blah. And then they say, well, I'm gay, so I've had this.
I'm already enjoying it more.
if you took elements of that out of stuff like Last Christmas, then you'd be left with Orphan 55.
There's really no need to go down that route. There's no need to be nasty.
Baby! it's strange that you say, because Water of Mars is pretty much a Base Under Siege episode as well.
Yeah.
Okay, Waters of Mars is a Base Under Siege episode, but again, it's a much larger space. I'm not going to say the characterization's better, but the threat is visible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you could probably have, as we were talking through the episode, we kind of started sort of pointing out the cliches of the characters and stuff. You could lose, arguably, three of those characters without actually losing much from the episode.
One of your complaints was that the ship looked empty, though.
Yeah,
is that for the three characters?
That was Laura's complaint. I didn't care. But I think it's too busy for a pared-down, tense thing. That's where I think they kind of, it slips a bit for me. They try and do too much in what should be less. And they should strip it back and just pare it down.
But they are doing that. You don't see the creature.
No, but you could still.
We still haven't seen 12 years later. We have no idea. It's been left, which is brilliant.
That's because it was Bad Wolf.
It's never been put upon in any other episode. We've never had a reference back to it.
It's quite funny because I remember on the forums, people were showing screenshots of the kind of diamondy planet type thing. And they were saying, if you look carefully, you can see it, which was just a blatant lie.
So that's basically the same people that were looking at, say, what happened in Beirut last week and saying, oh, look there, you can see there's a missile going into the building when it's blatantly got wings and it's a bird.
Yes, that's the one. These were the same people who have now decided that the explosion in Beirut proves that 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, because steel beams don't melt rocket fuel. Right.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
So they thought it was a homing missile, but it was a homing pigeon.
To be fair, they do look very similar. And homing pigeons can explode. That's why you have to keep them on the roof.
You just feed them bread, don't you?
Water tank,
they always have to be near a water tank because...
Send them off.
Yeah. You can't keep them in dry conditions. You have to be very near a water tank for safety reasons. Anyway, right. So that's homing pigeon sorted. We've got that one fixed. Got no idea what episode we're watching next because Laura never mentions it. In the meantime, are we reconvening on Sunday, chaps?
Yes, let's do Sunday.
Let's do Sunday. We will reconvene on Sunday to, I don't know. I don't know if we even bother watching the next episode. We might just have a bit of a chat and ignore it because it's not that exciting.
We could just jump on at the finale. We're so close.
Do you know what? We might think we should just skip ahead now.
Yeah, we should. Laura's
face. Do you know what? Actually, why don't we, as we've been talking about it, just skip straight ahead to Water of Mars? That would be fine, wouldn't it?
Fuck it, let's just go to the 11th hour. Let's screw the end of time.
I was thinking we should skip ahead to Georgie.
Do you know what? Sod that, yeah. Let's go...
To be fair, we'd be done a lot quicker.
Right.
You can just leave all this behind then.
In the meantime, while someone sulks, this has been the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast directionless commentary. We've had over that side, John and Morgan.
Bye.
And over that side, Laura and someone else has appeared. We won't mention them. Hello, me, Carl Johnson, your host, and we will be back on Sunday to probably annoy Laura even more and just completely rip the piss out of the episode for fun. In the meantime, that's been the Unsolid Popcorn Podcast, and this is us. Goodbye.